Welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Kiesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We are here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today, we're going to talk about sports and faith with Dr. Heath Lewis.
In our last episode, we started this discussion about how sports, youth sports athletics, gives young people a great opportunity to grow physically, mentally, and relationally. And that's true whether we're talking about competitive or recreational leagues, team sports, or individual sports. But for many youth in our families, in our congregation, sports isn't just a side activity or a hobby. Mm-hmm. It is a lifestyle. It is a major part of their lives from a young age, now much younger than when we were growing up. Through high school and even college, kids invest huge amounts of time and energy into practices, games, and training.
Our own LCMS data and national data backs this up. You can probably expect that half of your youth and children are playing in organized sports at some time throughout the year. This means a major investment of time and, in many cases, also money. And beyond that, certainly we talked about some of those challenges in the last episode. But sports is also really maybe part of the fabric of our life in many ways, beyond just youth leagues. Sports can unite us around a team or a community, a nation, or a favorite athlete. And for fans, following sports can be simply fun. And even for some, too, it's really cool to see sports providing an avenue to a rewarding career.
Certainly, we just experienced with the Olympics.
Yes.
How that could bring people together.
Right.
To confusedly try and understand why are we
swimming?
What are they? Right? Yeah. Why? Who first decided to do two-man bobsled?
I said.
Or skeleton. That's what it is.
Curling leagues across the country were full of people the next week for the joy.
Right?
And also, you know, hockey gets a great boost of bringing the country together. Team USA victories in both men's and women's side. Exciting stuff.
And we know how many relationships get built around shared love of a single team or even joking rivalries that can happen within your congregation.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much there. And in the midst of all of the balancing budgets and schedules, many of us who work with youth ministry are raising families and can feel this tension of how do we steward our time and our resources well? How do we set healthy boundaries? How do we work to make sports a positive learning activity for young people? And how do we prioritize time with God and God's people in a world where sports can easily take that center stage? So joining us to talk about the joy of sports and connections we can make with young people is Dr. Heath Lewis. Dr. Heath Lewis joined the faculty at Concordia University St. Paul in the fall of 2015. As Associate Professor of Christian Education and Leadership, Dr. Lewis teaches courses in the Christian Ministry major, working to enhance the historically strong Christian education and church work programs at CSP. In his role as Associate Chair of the Department of Theology and Ministry, Dr. Lewis supports the department's faculty, staff, and students in their teaching, research, and professional development. He also leads the academic programming for CSP's LCMS Colloquy Program and has served as instructors in the CSP EDD and Educational Leadership. Prior to CSP, Dr. Lewis served as a Director of Christian Education at Holy Trinity Lutheran in Edmond, Oklahoma. Outside of the classroom, Dr. Lewis can be found in the crowd of a concert or sporting events. He's passionate about cheering on his favorite sports teams, including Tottenham Hotspur, which I know how to say, Minnesota United FC, and Gonzaga Bulldogs. Above all, Dr. Lewis loves spending time with his wife and daughter. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. And well done on the Tottenham pronunciation.
I know. I know a little bit about what you would call the real football.
Real football, right? Real football versus American football, yeah.
There you go. We got to hear about you briefly in that intro, but tell us something about your vocations, your roles in youth ministry, and other things that bring you joy.
Yeah, you covered most of it really well there. So I'm a husband to Jess. We've been married for 17 years and a father now to Kennedy for 4 years. They occupy and consume in the best possible ways most of my time. When I'm not with them, I'm teaching and working at Concordia St. Paul, as you mentioned. I'm a board member for the National Association of Directors of Christian Education, so I love being able to support the work of DCEs and other educational professionals, youth workers, volunteers, everybody that kind of falls under our umbrella as the professional organization for DCEs in the LCMS. nerdy things. I'm an avid fountain pen collector. I love music. I'm actually a researcher on the band U2. So that's a whole other topic. And then more connected, as you mentioned, to sports and our topic today. I'm a proud member of Minneapolis Spurs, which is the Twin Cities official Tottenham Hotspur supporters group. I'm a Minnesota United season ticket holder and fan. I love my Gonzaga Bulldogs, Drake Bulldogs, Concordia Nebraska Bulldogs, where those are my alma mater. So it became a thing where I had to be a Bulldog all the way through, but all great sports schools that I was blessed to attend and still support, especially in their athletic endeavors. So yeah, that's just a little bit about me, but yeah, thanks for asking.
Well, it's been a while since you've been on the show, so we're going to ask you the question again that we'd love to hear from youth ministry leaders about their junior and senior high years. Can you share for us how Jesus used a key moment or moments or people to keep or bring you close to the church?
Yeah, this is a great question. I didn't remember answering this before, but I will try and keep this relatively brief. I wrote down three in response to this question, three things. First, when I was... when I went through confirmation, I'll confess I was not somebody who loved confirmation at the time. And we were trying a new confirmation system at the church I attended, and it moved it to 4 years. So not only not being excited about confirmation, then having 4 years of confirmation, I was less than enthused to get started. And then I just actually found it really great. And I ended up loving the program so much that when I was in high school, one of the elements of that program was that they had what they called confirmation guides, mentors for different small groups for middle school or for seventh grade boys, seventh grade girls, eighth grade boys, eighth grade girls. And they were struggling to get people to step in to be guides. And I made a snarky comment. Well, you know, as a typical youth in the church, I think that I had this perception that only adults can serve in those kind of roles. And so I made a snarky comment that, well, I would do that, but they probably wouldn't let me because I'm just a youth. I'm just in high school. Right. And I made this comment to my mom as our pastor just happened to be walking by. And so Mark Gherkin, if you found your way to this, you may not remember that this happened, but if you found your way to this podcast, thank you, because my mom caught him and said, "Can he do this?" And he's like, "I'll sign him up."
Nice.
And I kind of had this look on my face, I guess, of like, oh, well, I didn't expect that to go that way. And I ended up doing that my junior and senior years of high school. And it was really formative for me in my understanding of what I could do in service to the church and how I could support other young people, even as a young person myself, in their journey of faith. Between that junior and senior year of high school, through Iowa District West, so shout out to my first district that I was a part of, I was a part of a service trip to Los Angeles for 2 weeks, leading VBS in the city and doing service projects around the community and really just finding ways to share the love of Jesus there. And that was really transformational for me. Before that trip, my thought process and my plan was to go into sports management as a career. And on that trip, that was really where I kind of felt this, I'll say, the nudging of the Spirit to move a different direction with that. I was from a small church and I didn't really know anything about church work other than the pastoral role. And I really didn't want to be a pastor. I still maintain today I'd be a terrible pastor. And so when I talked to my pastor about this, he said, "Yeah, you should be a DCE." And I said, "That sounds great. What's a DCE?" I'd never heard of a DCE. I'd never met a DCE. And really those conversations that followed that trip changed the trajectory of my career. And the Lord was at work through all of that as I was busy kind of going, well, you know, I'll try it. And if it doesn't work out, I can always go back and do sports management and I can study that. And every step along the way, I just felt affirmed and things just continued to progress until I ended up in my first call, and it's been a wonderful journey. The last one is the 2001 LCMS Youth Gathering in New Orleans that really helped affirm that pathway as well. It was the first time I really met a DCE. I met several at the youth gathering and who were able to kind of walk me through and talk me through some of what that meant to be a director of Christian education in the LCMS, and just the support and love I felt from the whole church, feeling like I was seeing a different vision of what church is, from my small town church to this gathering of like 35,000 people, was transformational. That's really the best word I can use to describe it. So I could list probably a million if we had more time, but we don't. So I'll stick with those three for now.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing those. It's so helpful to hear how young people get engaged accidentally or on purpose into those places. Work with a lot of young adults there on your campus. What do you love about working with young people in your congregation, in your community?
Yeah, it's such a formative time, right? Especially now working with college students. When the call came to go to CSP, I wasn't sure. I really loved youth ministry in the parish. I loved working really primarily with middle schoolers and high schoolers. I really thought that's what I was going to do for the rest of my career. And I wasn't sure about going and working with college students every day. And then I got here, and it is just so formative for these young people as they're trying to figure out what am I going to do with the rest of my life. They're moving away from home in many cases for the first time and trying to figure out kind of life, quote unquote, without mom and dad right by my side. They're doing all this stuff, and it's this time of searching and wrestling and figuring out relationships, figuring out professional stuff, and again, trying to figure out where they want to go and what they want to do. And so it's really fun to be able to tell them, someday I'll figure out what I want to do when I grow up too. And I feel like you're in good company if that's how you feel about life. And but to root all that work and to ground all that work in what God is already doing in their lives, and to point them back to that reality that you're not doing any of this alone, not because I'm here, not because my colleagues are here, not because your friends are here, but because God is with you every step of the journey. He's with you all the way through this. And so, and then doing all that, and helping them get ready for the thing that they think they want to do with the rest of their life is just rewarding and fun in so many ways. And especially working in the church work programs, getting to then see them take the step out of CSP, go into the parish, go into their ministry callings, go on to the seminary, all these kind of things, and see where God takes them, how He continues to work through the Spirit in their lives and in their ministry and their service is just wonderful. So it's a really fun time to engage with young people. It's a really rewarding piece, not just for me, but to see the effect that they then have on the church. And it really heartens me for the future of the church when we get to work with those young people and see them take that next step in their professional and personal lives.
Awesome. Well, thanks for serving in that way. We'd love, again, the ministry that takes place on our CUS campuses and through the work of professors and staff, and just to see those young leaders and current leaders too, just do amazing work in the kingdom. And look forward, again, like you said, future church workers and certainly those that are serving our congregations in many ways through their vocations, which they serve. Speaking of those ways in which we serve, the way we get to connect, glad to have you on to talk about faith and sports. We're going to start with the question that you used as your title for the session that you led this summer at the youth gathering. Obviously, it was a topic that connect with a lot of our youth, heard rooms were full, engaging conversation. I listened to one of the recordings, and certainly a lot of questions, a lot of feedback. You obviously had athletes in the audience, probably adult leaders too, who maybe even parents who wanted to engage more around this topic. But the question we put before you, does God even care about sports?
Yeah, thanks for asking. It was a really interesting journey to that being the session title. I was asked to speak about faith and sports. And I was like, well, that's not a great catchy session title. So what are people going to respond to in that way? And I started thinking about all the ways that we show that we care about sports, right? People clearly care about sports. Like just a few more numbers in addition to the things that you shared in the intro, right? $170 billion in global sports revenue in 2024. $170 billion. $45.9 billion of that was spent on merchandise and licensing, ticketing, and hospitality. So that means we spent almost $46 billion in 2024 to put a player's name on our backs, a logo on our chest, or to sit in the stadium and watch those players play. Mm-hmm. In 2024 in the United States, there were 292 million tickets sold to sporting events. Mm-hmm. 125.6 million people watched the 2026 Super Bowl. That number probably went up at the halftime show. It usually does, but that is still a massive number for an American audience. Across NBC Universal platforms, 23.5 million people tuned in daily to the 2026 Winter Olympics.
Wow.
That is a massive number. And in 2023, it's estimated that 27 million kids aged 6 to 17 were registered for or participating in youth sports. We invest so much in sports, of our time, of our energy, of our money in sports. Clearly, we care about sports. And I think for anything that we care that much about, we really do have to ask the question, not just for sports, anything that we care that much about, that we invest that much in, we have to ask, does God even care about that thing?
Mm-hmm.
Does God even care about that thing? And in preparation for the gathering, I settled on this answer, that yes, I think God does care about sports, but probably not for the reasons that you and I do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that God is like sitting with a TV on, decked out in his favorite team's colors. He's not waiting for a match to begin. He's not joyfully celebrating a rival's loss in a big game. He's not intervening in the outcomes to make your team win. Your pregame prayers are not somehow earning God's favor or favoritism in that match. Nothing like that. I don't think that that's the way that God is caring about sports. But, I came around to this notion that Luther asserts that God is at work in the ordinary, not just the things that we often think of as sacred. God works through activity in the world, creaturely, humanly activity in the world. And as athletes participate in the world through this form of work, sport is definitely a form of work. Athletes work hard. They use the gifts they've been given. It's also play and leisure. But as they do these things, as they engage in work, leisure, rest, individually and with others, those ideas really become part of our human interaction and life. We see the right and left kingdoms, where the kingdom of the right, the gospel, salvation, etc., the kingdom of the left, the civil, temporal life. And sport certainly resides in the left, but God cares about things that happen in the left. God is not absent from things that happen in the left, in the left-hand kingdom. And so those are pieces. But then lastly, it's that sport's not spiritually neutral. Sport is never spiritually neutral. It's not like we watch a game and nothing happens to us as viewers. We don't just play in a game and have nothing happen to us as athletes. Every game, every practice, every viewing on television, every time we sit in the stands, it teaches us something about the world, about ourselves, and ultimately then about God. So, I think that God does care about sports in the same way he cares about all creaturely and humanly, a human life, particularly as creator and sustainer of all things. And that includes humanity. As humans find community, discipline, joy, suffering even in sport, God is in all of that. And consequently, the case can be made that he very much cares about all of it as well. So that's where I landed for the session.
Mm-hmm.
And I stand by that now several months later.
Yeah, you didn't change your mind on it. No, I think you hit something really good there, right? That sports isn't a neutral thing, right? It has an impact. So if we're thinking about that, what valuable lessons can sports teach a young person, particularly what can they learn about living as a faithful disciple of Jesus?
I think there's a reason that the New Testament is filled with these metaphors of sport to describe the sanctified life for the person. We read about the race. Paul writes that runners in a stadium all run, but only when one wins the prize. He encourages us to run in a way that you may win. This is the notion again of disciplining oneself. of being disciplined in the sanctified life. Hebrews 12 gives us probably the most famous instance of running in the Bible. After we talk about a great cloud of witnesses surrounding the believer, we are told to lay aside every weight and the sin that clings closely and run with endurance the race set before us. Philippians 3 talks about the foot race image again, where Paul says he presses on for the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We see fighting analogies used. 2 Timothy, as Paul, likely at the end of his life, is writing about a boxer or a wrestling metaphor. I fought the good fight. And here he actually combines metaphors. He mixes his metaphors a little bit. He says, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. And this is a description of the whole Christian life, marked in some ways by struggle, not just triumph and glory. It's not just about those moments where we win. And so we see the New Testament just filled with these. These are just a couple of examples, but we see the New Testament filled with these things. Yeah, so one of the classes I teach at Concordia St. Paul is called Christianity and Sport. And when I talk about the idea of vocation in that class, I like to put up Luther's explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed, where he says, I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he's given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them, that he richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life, and all of this out of all of this purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve, and obey him. And I start with that because I think we learn a lot about the lessons that sports could and should teach us. Mm-hmm. From a Christian perspective, we learn about God's creation, that God makes us, he creates us, he gives us our body, our reason, our senses. He sustains those things. It's not just something that I do on my own, but it's a reminder that that God does those things for me, not because I've earned it, not because I've done something wonderful to accomplish it or achieve it myself. It's a gift from God, but that I am called to respond to that in the way that I care for myself and the way that I use those things as I thank, praise, serve, and obey him. And so we learn first at a foundational level about who we were made to be and how we can engage the world. In that class, I had a student last semester who I thought put it the best, that sport helps us to honor the gift of the body and honor the gift of movement that we've been given by God. So at a foundational level, we get that, right? That's a big piece to start with. But we can go deeper, right? We learn about discipline, that learning to train consistently, rest properly, take care of our physical health. These reflect our understanding, then again, of how we thank and praise, serve, and obey God. They're a concrete place in our lives where we can have a daily practice of stewardship of the body, of care for creation that God has given us through that discipline. We learn about perseverance. Sports inevitably produce hardship, losing streaks, injuries, being cut from a team, playing through fatigue and injury, hopefully not playing through injury, but we know people do it. This notion of perseverance. But we learn to persist rather than quit just because things get hard. And that's true of, I would say it's true of life, and that's true of faith, that we don't give up because things in life are challenging. We learn about teamwork and care for others. Paul uses this body metaphor where each member has a different role and a different gift. And a young person has to learn that you may be the star or you may not be, but that doesn't mean you're not part of the team. I had a student here come to me and talk about this where they're really struggling, that they'd been on a team of ours for several years and their playing time hadn't increased and they were really wrestling with what to do about that. And I said, that doesn't make you any less of a part of the team, right? You're in practice every day, you're in training, you're encouraging your teammates, you're pushing them on, you're spurring them on. And it's hard, especially at the college level, because you've usually been a big fish in a small pond. And then college flips that in some ways. So for the college athlete, it was an interesting conversation to say, how do you play this role on the team, even if it's not the star role? How do you learn to genuinely celebrate your teammates' success? and see that success then as your own. Your team won a conference championship, and that you aren't less a part of that because your playing time was smaller. Because again, you push them to be better in training. You encourage them when times are tough. You are as much a part of that as anybody. Honesty and integrity, right? When we call fouls, refuse to flop, admit when the ball was out of bounds, when we tell the coach a truth about our physical condition, they test a young person, but they also teach a young person about what it looks like to do the right thing, to live with integrity, to be honest and open about those things that we're struggling with. And then like we learn about fourth commandment issues, respect and honor for authority, submitting to a coach's judgment, accepting an official's call, operating within a team's structure, even if we don't always like the results. We learn about these ordered relationships and the structure of life in some ways. I could go on, right? It's things like sacrifice, how to win well, lose well. How to be competitive and strive together, right? Even in an individual sport, you can't do it alone. That's part of that teamwork thing, right? You can't even do an individual sport alone because you need somebody to compete against. You need other people. And then there's opportunities for Christian witness. We learn how to share our faith, I hope, in those contexts, or at least the opportunity exists to share our faith in those contexts. With those who are struggling, hurting, and don't know Jesus. So I could go on and on and on, but I think that's a helpful starting point for us to kind of move toward.
I think you hit on a lot of things. I would not say I was an athlete, but I played sports when I was young. so many of those things that you listed, I think especially like the discipline, the hard work, how to lose well and how to win well were important lessons there. And just, I think too, I take away from just the teamwork part about being a part of a team, how do you keep goals in mind, how you care for both your teammate, but then also be good sportsmen with your the team that you're playing against. That was a huge lesson for me, especially as a Christian. So some of those ways that sports, again, can get young people engaged, get to see their gifts, and teach lessons about life too. I think it's just an awesome thing. Obviously, an important part of that too are maybe the adults who are investing in them through that process, whether that's parents, coaches, and other mentors. How maybe you've seen, even on the college campus or even other places where you are engaged, where again, those sports or those athletic competitions can be ways to open the doors, I guess, for young people to experience care, mentorship, and support from adults.
So much of those roles comes back to our understanding of vocation. Whether you're a family member, a coach, a fan, or an opponent, you are still called to love and serve your neighbor. And sports provide a great opportunity for us to do that as well. As the coach helps a young person to train and to be to become a better athlete as they struggle with, again, issues like playing time or self-image, self-perception, the role in life, the role on the team, the coach has an amazing opportunity to speak into that. Family has this great opportunity to care for their loved ones. Not necessarily even from the athletic perspective, but as the young person is learning lessons that are sometimes really hard through sport, the family and their ability to just show up and to love the young person no matter what takes center stage and speaks volumes more than any parent yelling instructions from the sideline would, right? I like you, Mark, played sports, but I would not have considered myself an athlete. And I grew up in a house where my parents didn't know a lot about sports, and they knew that they didn't know a lot about sports. And so they weren't the people that were shouting instructions at me from the sidelines. They were just there to care for me, to encourage me, to support me in both the good and the bad times, right? They left the coaching to the coach. And that actually was really helpful for me. Because when the coach would crack down, when the coach would, give me the business about a missed play or something like that, I knew that my family was still going to love and support and care for me. And so that became a team in some ways, the coach partnering with family to each have their unique roles. Fans, I can't overstate in this day and age the impact fans have on sports. Particularly through social media. and the effect that they can have on athletes. As a fan, how do you love and serve the people who are involved in sport through your role as a fan? That's a little trickier, right? That's a little bit harder because we often think that, I would say, buying a ticket to an event offers us the opportunity to say what we want about what's happening on the field. But that has an effect on other people. The people on the other side of that are real people as well. And they're trying to live out their vocation, I would say, as an athlete. And so how in your vocation are you loving and serving those people? And then things like opponents, right? People like opponents who we don't always think of again on the same team as we are, but we don't have sport without them. And so how do we love and serve our neighbors through sports? It's one thing to be as competitive as you want to be on the field, but when you leave the field of play, how do you engage well with other people? I had a softball player who shared with me a story from high school that they had their biggest rival was in a bus crash and a bus accident. And, you know, they had some very heated rivalries on the diamond, but in that moment, they didn't care, right? Mm-hmm. And they just all showed up. She told me about how we all showed up to love and serve that other team because that's what we needed in that moment. That's what we all needed. And they were just. And she said it was a moment where it helped me realize that these are just people too, even though we play against each other on the field. So there's a lot of ways that we can do it. And I would say each situation is unique depending on the role you take in sport, right? Whether you're a coach, again, family member, fan, opponent, sponsor, administrator at a school, anything like that. The biggest question that I think we all need to ask ourselves every time we engage with sport is, how can I love and serve my neighbor through this experience?
So in your session, you addressed what you called the biggest lie sports tells us. What is that lie?
Yeah, so let me preface this by saying that we often hold up sport in culture for the great values it teaches. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of good things. We just listed several, right? There are a lot of good things that sports teaches young people. But I mentioned a few minutes ago that sport is really law-based. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of space for gospel in sport. And so what ends up happening is... we're taught this lie that you are what you accomplish. Mm-hmm. And think about the way that plays out in sport, right? That it overwhelmingly functions as a meritocracy, that can you do enough to be good? Can you do enough to make the cut and get on the team? And then have you done enough to keep your spot on the team? What are you remembered for? You're remembered for your successes, for your trophies, for the good things you did, or conversely, the horrible things that happened on the field that nobody wants to remember, the ball that went through your legs, the goal you let in from the half line, whatever it is, right? We're remembered for our actions. And what ends up happening for so many athletes is we end up thinking our lives are measured by these moments where, like, we can stretch out our arms in victory and we can, we've accomplished this great, amazing thing. And I'm not trying to take anything away from the amazing moments that happen in sports of achievement and celebration and that sort of stuff. But that's not what defines us, and that's not who we really are at our core. But sport drives into us this meritocracy that says you are what you accomplish. When in reality, we know as Christians that your life is measured by a moment where somebody stretched out their arms, not seemingly in victory, when Christ did this for you on the cross, right? And then proclaim that victory on Easter. And that's the thing that gives us real worth. That's the thing that gives us real value. That's the thing that defines and marks and measures our lives. But the deeper we get into sports culture, the more it becomes this notion of what have you done for me lately? Mm-hmm. And that can be really damaging.
Right. I went to a conference a couple of years ago, and it was the chaplain of the U.S. Summer Olympic team, or one of them. And he talked about, he was not Lutheran, but he talked about how much he had fallen in love with Lutheran theology because he just realized, man, the athletes I was working with, they don't understand the concept of grace and forgiveness and just the rat race that they were in that competitive level to where he, like, I just dove into Luther and how to speak gospel and grace to athletes. And I think that's important both for, as we think about our young people who maybe are in our congregations, to be able to help them understand that, but then also for them to understand when they're out in their vocation or for us coaches or other things to be like, some of these athletes who maybe don't have a relationship with the church, to give them a break and be able to say like, hey, they're, like you said, there is someone who did stretch out their arms in victory for you, and to be able to talk about that, I think, is such an important message for athletes.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So in that Christianity and sport class, when I talk about law and gospel, because it's such a natural tie-in to the topic of where Christianity and sport intersect, students can really quickly and clearly identify where the law is engaged in sports. And they can just rattle off examples of, here's law in sport, here's law in sport, there's law in sport. And we talk about three uses of the law, and then they can really rattle off spot. Like, I don't even have to go into three uses. I can just explain what the law is at a base level, and they really can identify it. And then explain what the gospel is. We talk about grace. I said, now, where does this intersect with sport? And it's crickets. Mm-hmm, right? They struggle with that. And I remind them, that's because we've built a culture around sport that doesn't celebrate sport, that doesn't, again, celebrate the gift of the body, doesn't celebrate the gift of movement, the gift of life. Mm-hmm, we've built a meritocracy where it is really about what you do, and that determines your worth. And so we don't see where gospel and grace intersect with sport. It's a much harder connection. And so I think that's a conversation we have to continue to engage and try and figure out if we really want to use sport to teach those positive good values and virtues.
Are there maybe other ways as you engage with either college students or maybe when you're in the parish working with high school students and parents and other things, are there other maybe like negative lessons that sports sometimes can have on young people or teach young people? Or maybe have you seen ways where sports can maybe with young people and negatively affect their personal development and relationship with God and the church, a way specifically that sports can maybe be a way that can be a negative factor on their life?
Yes, so many. I think in the gathering session, I made the comment that for as many positive values and virtues as sport teaches, you could probably list just as many that are negative in the life of a person. From a churchly perspective, no question, I would start with athletic idolatry. And how we perceive athletics in some cases as highly or even more so than the church. What is the thing that we are prioritizing? What is the thing that we're trusting in? So that's a big one. We wrestle with that all the time. And how do we navigate sport and church in a helpful way that can recognize the gift that sport can be while also not turning it into a cultural idol? But even beyond that, I've held up the idea that sport is a gift, the body is a gift, but sport can push us to overexertion and misuse of the body, right? That in order to keep up, particularly as I go through the levels or ranks of my sport, I have to, in some cases, we don't see it this way, but it's almost I have to abuse my body, and I can't rest, and I can't care for it in the way that it needs to be. We see athletes doping, taking steroids, other drugs, just to try and stay ahead or keep up with others who are maybe more athletically gifted or even in some cases harder workers, right? They take these pieces and they implement them even though we know that they're not good for the person because the body is the engine that drives my success in so many ways in sports. So we misuse the body. We've talked about the unifying effect of sport. But sport, again, as it unifies, it also divides. My team draws closer, I hope. My team recognizes, I hope, that we're on the same team. But when we go into a game, that pits us against another team. And sometimes those go to extremes. I'm a fan of English football and the rivalries and the violence that sometimes has historically accompanied mm-hmm. that sport is off the charts, right? Mm-hmm. And the disdain that groups have for others as we become divided by the color of jersey we wear, the color of shirt that we wear on game day. We get a win at all costs mentality. So again, we talked about that integrity issue earlier, but the converse to that is we're willing to do what it takes to win and to get ahead and that sort of stuff. So I was at a volleyball tournament once, and I watched a ball clearly go out of bounds. The referee missed it. And the coach who benefited from that remained silent until the game was over, because it mattered to him that they won the game and advanced in the tournament. He did not share that piece of information with the referee until after the game. And I looked at my wife and said, that was a really interesting moment, right? What is the mentality that would drive a youth coach to win at all costs, that they knew the call was wrong, but they went ahead with it anyway, so that their team could continue winning. You know, losses lead to disappointment and shame. Mental health issues are off the charts, especially with young athletes. We deal with that all the time here. My college students will tell me stories about the high schoolers they played with and the students on their teams, not just here, but players they know on other teams they compete against that really struggle with self-worth issues and shame mm-hmm. issues and mental health issues because of some of those challenges and difficulties in sport. So again, I listed a multitude of benefits to sport earlier. I could keep going because basically for every one of those, we could list a negative effect or consequence that accompanies it that could go along with that for the young person. So we just have to be careful. When we extol the virtue of sport, we have to recognize the double-edged sword that it really is.
Sure.
Yeah. And especially when we talk about not just our relationship with faith, but with our relationship with church and the programming there, youth workers feel that tension. They feel the tension between a young person's relationship with the church and the role of sports or the commitment level that young person has to sports. What encouragement might you give the church workers, church members, youth leaders when considering their mindset about sports and athletic competitions?
Yeah, this was the toughest question. I think that you asked, and I've wrestled with this a little bit because I don't feel like I have a strong answer for this one. I don't feel like I have the most helpful answer. With that in mind, I always try and ask myself a series of questions about it. I think too often one of the things that we do is we kind of formulate a response in the church to sport that it has to be either or. It's sport or church. But how can we make sport and church or sport and Christianity be a both and? Is there a way that we can helpfully, healthily engage both? How can we equip our people to serve well in this, which is potentially one of their many vocations? Not everybody's in sport, but for those who are, how do we encourage and equip them to serve well and to look toward those positive, beneficial aspects of sport, to honor the gift of movement, the gift of the body, the gift of life, to learn about discipline, to learn about teamwork, to use it as a teaching time, to understand how suffering plays out, not just in the context of sport, but in life as a whole. How do we use it to prepare people for what's coming in their life? And for those who are, again, family, coaches, et cetera, how do we use that to leverage it, to love those young people in our midst? This is an amazing opportunity for us to say, I can care for young people through this thing that they're going to participate in, and show them this love, care, concern that often is absent for young people in society. And then lastly, like I mentioned, the number, just that 27 million kids aged 6 to 17 are playing youth sports. And I have to imagine a large portion of those people are not Christian and don't know Jesus. And so how do we see the athletic field not as the greatest competitor the church has, but perhaps as maybe the greatest mission field the church has access to, particularly in the United States today? What would it look like to equip our people as missionaries for the athletic fields where they are spending so much time and engaging with their time, their talents, their resources, their attention, all of that? How do we equip people to share the gospel in those spaces? I don't have great answers for all those things. And I think so much of that is contextual, but I do think those are important and key questions as we consider that tension and relationship. I certainly understand both sides of it. As somebody who worked in youth ministry in the congregational setting for 10 years, I get the tension of, I want my young people here. I also understand that like young people are probably going to also want to be out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so how do we make it, how do we make it a both and? How do we equip them for that part of their lives? How do we start to view the athletic field as mission field?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your insight and for joining us today. It's been great to have this conversation with you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Heath. Thankful for Dr. Lewis taking the time to talk about sports. Again, like he said, we could have probably done a three-part session just on this topic.
Whole class,
yeah. Right. Weeks and hours of content. So many things that would echo with what he said. I mean, just as someone who did, again, play sports growing up, that, again, the important lessons, I think, of so many things around teamwork and hard work and dedication, again, playing through adversity, just so many of those things that play into that were the positive. But also know, too, that how many times I did have my priorities out of whack in terms of time spent whether versus God's word or church versus the sport. Again, it definitely was a way in which I did not show care and love for my friends or sometimes my quote-unquote enemies either, and certainly could get caught up in that. And that's part of learning and growing up, certainly, but at the same time, you got to call what it is at times, too, and that it was sin in my life. And so that sport was able to get into that. But just thankful, again, for the way that we kind of look at it. God gives us gifts. Mm-hmm. They can be abused or they can be used appropriately in a real meaningful way. And sports is, again, one of those gifts God's given to us.
I just appreciate his perspective that it's not a either-or option, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that this church wants to get all rid of sports or that sports is against the church, but it's a both and. Mm-hmm. And so much of what young people and their families experience with sports, when it's put through that perspective and that lens of faith, can really impact the way they behave, the vocations that they live out, the way they're able to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. So being able to help keep that lens in front of them and help to teach them and engage them in those ways is so important.
Yeah, and I think, too, you can pay attention to, like, if within your congregational youth ministry or young people, too, is how are those relationships being built around it, or is it getting in the way, too? But I think there can be a lot of connection that can happen as young people, if they are on teams together or both going through sports together, there's a lot of unifying parts that can come, too, and be able to learn and grow together and be able to apply. I love that, again, in that New Testament context, if there's some of those scriptures that he was listing off that were meaningful to me as a young athlete that was able to bring my desire for sports and to be competitive into the frame of my faith and to really make me think deeply about it and how do we care for one another. So I appreciate those that are willing to dig into the word with young athletes too and to point that even again, especially in the New Testament, that there's scriptural about it.
Yeah. So a few closing questions for you to consider. First, how do we help young people see their time in sports through that filter of faith?
How can supportive adults show care to young athletes in your congregation by engaging in their activities tied to athletics?
And how can we help youth and their families use their gifts and skills in sports without dismissing the importance of time in spiritual practices as well? We will continue to keep you in our prayers as you cheer on your team, as you support young people, and as you remind them of who they are in Christ, no matter how they do on the field.
End Goals Podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. To find links mentioned in the episode or more about LCMS Youth Ministry, go to kfuo.org/youthministry and find resources for youth ministry at youthesource.com. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church.